What's better than a cold beverage at the end of a long, hot day? Well, it's the second half of our Dirty Dozen episode, of course.
Really?
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership, so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
So welcome to episode 4, listeners. Great to have you back again.
G'day, gang.
So today we're going to look at the bottom half of the Dirty Dozen. So far we've looked at having a why, your goals and targets, the importance of planning, the importance of self-mastery, having a good sales process, as well as knowing the numbers and knowing your financial. So what's next, Warwick?
Number 7, pricing and quoting. Now these are definitely two separate things. With pricing, things like how often do you review your prices, and even how do you set your prices? So many people in business just set their prices based on what the market is doing, and that may or may not actually fit your business model and what you want to make from your business in terms of profit. With quoting, it's having a quoting process, so how you present the quote, even how you prepare the quotes. Definitely not handwriting them on the back of a beer coaster is probably not the best way to do it. But even if you do have a sophisticated quoting system, who's doing those quotes and then making sure that you actually win enough of them, because you don't want to spend hours and hours quoting and not winning the work because you're not getting paid essentially to actually work in your business. So a couple of key areas there. Anything to add on that, Michaela?
Yeah, certainly. I think that people think, you know, it's really hard to have a well-presented quote. And there's a lot of things that you can do that are quite easy. And as far as having templates and actually spend some time putting together price lists so that others can prepare nice-looking quotes for you. So you may not be a whiz in Word, but certainly having some staff that can do it for you with formulated prices and things like that. In addition, also looking at other options like having quotes on your iPad and things like that, where you can send quotes before you've even left the job site and the customer, and that can really help increase your quote conversion as well. And there's a lot of simple programs out there where all you need to do is plug in a couple of prices, and you can even see when the client opens your quotes and things like that. So there's a lot of easier ways to really make this whole part of your business much more streamlined and successful.
Too true. So let's move on to number 8, one of my absolute favourites, doing what I do with clients. One of the easiest ways to find improvement in their business, and certainly in terms of cost reductions and improving the effectiveness of the money they are spending, is this one, number 8, test and measure. No, we're not doing random drug tests or anything like that on the worksite. But by testing and measuring, what we do is actually start to record everything that's going on in our business, and in particular marketing. So if you're spending money on advertising or marketing and you're not measuring exactly how many leads you're getting and how much money people are spending off the back of that advertising, then you could actually be costing yourself thousands of dollars in some cases. And I've seen people who have done this and actually started to record where their leads are coming from, and discover that they're spending $2,000 a month on an advertising campaign that's not actually doing anything for them.
That's right, and this is one of the most easiest things that has the biggest impact that a business can do. I get asked all the time, oh, should I still do Yellow Pages or should I do something else? And I think, well, how many leads do you get from Yellow Pages?
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Well, you need to know. And it's really one of the most easiest things to implement into a business. You know, it's having the question asked on a contact form on your website. Mm. It's having it as part of your script when you answer the phone. It's making sure every salesperson in your business asks the question. It's really, really easy. And having a little checklist or a little tally sheet next to your phone, and just quickly record where they come from, and then add that up over a week, over a month, and then look at a 3-month period. You can really make some judgments about where the best money can be spent and where you're getting the best return on investment.
Yep. And then you can often not just turn off the marketing that's not working, but redirect funds to, let's say you discover that your Yellow Pages isn't working for you, surprise. But you know, let's say you're spending $1,500 a month or something on that, you could actually go and reinvest that then into website or YouTube marketing or, you know, some other strategy, Google AdWords, Facebook, that might actually be currently generating you a reasonable return, and it's like, I just wish I had some more money to put into Google AdWords.
That's right.
Often you can find it within the strategies that you're running at the moment.
That's right. So it's not like you need to get more money. And the other thing I find is a lot of people go, oh, I realise I didn't know how much I got from referrals or word of mouth.
Yeah.
And they're so cost effective. So really knowing if you are getting a lot that way, spending some more time building more JV partnerships or referral networks and spending more time and money in those areas.
That's right. So that was test and measure number 8. Number 9, job management. I think you're the expert on this stuff, Michaela.
Well, I get excited talking about job management. It's a little sad, isn't it? But so many businesses I see are just double and triple handling. It's just such a time-wasting systems that they have in place. You know, one really large field business that had 50 field workers was running their jobs off a whiteboard in an office and sending jobs by SMS. And then they were, you know, double handling, putting the invoicing in and sending it out and checking. And it's just not an effective way to work. So it really is quite simple. Is whether it is simple, a shared diary system or a proper job management program, which are really quite cost effective now from, say, $10, $20 a month. They can give you everything you need to know, everything your staff needs to know. So your communication's improved, your whole processes with your customers is improved. And it can really save you, you know, 10, 15 hours a week easy on improving this area. And also it can help increase the productivity of your staff. And sometimes you can look at reducing staff costs as well due to so much streamlining that's happened. So it's really quite a critical area of the business and something a lot of are scared of and don't really want to change the way they've done it. But the benefits certainly outweigh any fears that they may have.
Mm. And it's one of those things that, like a few of these points, modern technology just allows us to do so much cool stuff. You know, I'm giving away my age here, but I remember before internet and before mobile phones. Yeah, don't say anything, Michaela.
So what, you didn't? What, Google's never been around always? What are you talking about?
Try to tell a if you're listening and you're under 20, no, we haven't always had Google and the internet. There were things called encyclopedias in books.
And used to have to stay home to get a phone call.
Yeah, that's right. I remember calling in from parties on a public phone, which you can't find anymore. But anyway, modern technology, yeah, look, it just allows us to do so much cool stuff. And so with that job management that you're talking about, recording timesheets and, you know, I had a conversation with one of my clients just this morning about vehicle trackers, just not to check up on staff, but so they actually can measure accurately how long they're at each work site.
Yep.
And make sure they don't miss billing any of that time, because that's time basically that is, you know, not getting charged to anybody.
That's right. And, you know, chasing job cards from a week ago from your blokes where they're trying to remember what parts they used and how long they're on there. You just imagine the costs that you're incurring but not being able to charge for. I'd hate to think the money that you're losing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe we should get one of those vehicle tracking companies on the show at some stage. Job management, very important and not as hard as you think. Number 10. So number 10 is strikes fear into the heart of big, hairy tradespeople and some lovely lady tradies as well. But building a team, employing people and actually starting to add more people to the business really does scare the pants off a lot of business owners, not just tradies.
That's right. And they're not a cost. They're an investment if they're done right.
They should
so,
be.
Yes.
They're done right.
That's right.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
So building a team, look, that could be as simple as just getting some admin support into your office. Whether that's somebody who sits in your office and actually you employ on a full or part-time basis, or it might be somebody who sits virtually outside of your office, which is obviously an area that you're pretty passionate about, Michaela.
It is. I'm a little bit biased.
You know, there's another guy that we both follow, and hopefully we'll get him on the show for an interview at some stage, but Tim Reed talks about building your virtual team. And so things like marketing and administration and bookkeeping and that sort of stuff is where often people overlook an opportunity to build a team and start to get rid of some of those tasks that are quite time consuming and maybe not the things that you're the best at in your business. So starting with those would be a good point. And then obviously bringing on more tradespeople or apprentices or whoever's most appropriate in your business. Part of actually overcoming that fear is going back to that financial management and having a really good budget or some good financials that you can look at and say, okay, if we plugged in another wage here, how much extra business would we need to bring through? And how much extra profit might that add to our bottom line so that you can get some certainty about, okay, this is a good decision and we can do this now, or this is going to stretch us too far and there's no way knowing we can survive employing somebody new.
Yeah, and that's right. And it's also looking at your time as well. So calculating how many hours you spend a week doing things that aren't your skill set. And that could be, you know, 10, 15 extra hours off the tools. Now, if you're looking at getting somebody to help you, whether it be in person or virtually, you know, often they're a third to half the cost of your hourly rate. So imagine if you spend all that extra time actually building your business. So you really got to weigh up the costs and the benefits, though, long term to growing your business and, you know, your sanity as well. And so next on the list, number 11, is what's happening upstairs. And that's what's happening in your head. And it's all around having the right mindset and motivation to grow your business.
So positive thinking.
All that woo-woo stuff.
It doesn't really work, does it? Thinking positively?
No, of course not. Let's just think of how bad the day's going to be and see how that turns out.
And we joke about it, but the reality is we all have a choice, don't we?
That's both right.
We can focus on the challenges and the negative stuff, and, yeah, they definitely need attending to and we need to pay them the attention they deserve. But if you could choose between focusing on the positive stuff and being a positive thinker and, you know, trying to feel good, or focusing on the negative stuff and having a crappy day, which would you choose, listeners? Most people that I talk to say, well, I'd like to feel good and I'd like to focus on the positive stuff.
That's right. And I think it's just such a simple change that everybody can make, and always not looking at the poor me victim mentality, but actually going, you know what, I have a choice in how I deal with this situation. And it's just, it's so simple, but it's so easy.
And how do you feel that impacts, though? Like, it's one thing for us to sit here in the studio and say, yeah, you need to think positive and you should focus on that because it's going to make you feel better. But in terms of running a trading business, how does that actually help?
Well, it really comes down to how you present yourself to customers, to staff, and to everything. And if you've got a positive attitude, then your staff are going to have a positive attitude. They're going to want to come to work. They're going to want to help your business grow. And also customers will want to deal with people that are positive. And it's all about, you know, you'll go for bigger jobs that perhaps you didn't want to win, or you'll just be overall more confident in how you run your business. And it is, like I said, a simple thing, but can make such a big difference.
And I guess the key too is, as you said, other people will want to hang around you more if you're a positive person. Nobody likes hanging around a whinger or a victim for very long anyway. And so by being one of those positive people, we'll tend to attract better staff. If we look at the previous point where we want to build a team, better customers, because they think, wow, this guy's really positive, he's going places, or this girl's, you know, really, really doing some cool stuff in her business. And so even that alone is a good reason to be one of those positive thinking peoples.
That's right. It's all about that law of attraction. You know, you track what you put out. So if you're attracting, if you're putting out great stuff, you're going to get that back.
That's right. That's right.
And certainly last but not least of our 12 dirty dozen steps to having a great trade business, you know what? It comes down to one thing, really. The simple shit.
It's always the simple shit, isn't it?
It is. You know, so many businesses I work with, the most basic documents or procedures or forms or contracts, they just don't have it in place. And it's the easy things that'll trip them up.
Yep. Yep. And, yeah, certainly it's the little stuff, yeah, that little stone in your shoe that really just takes your focus off a pleasurable walk. That was a horrible analogy, wasn't it? Might cut that out and save it for the bloopers, hey?
Nah, people get it.
But it's those little things that can really wreck a really great business. Little stuff like even just having your structures right, or putting money aside for tax and realizing that you actually have to pay super to certain employees because they're employees, not contractors. I mean, they can sound a bit complex, but often they're really quite straightforward. And with some good advice from professionals, it's quite easy to get all those things right.
That's right. And it's even having the right insurances in place, but actually having them reviewed, because what you did 5 years ago may not be relevant to your business now. And all those things like having terms and conditions and payment structures and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they are simple stuff. And look, having an accountant or a financial person annually look at your books, I mean, and really help you in those areas as well.
Yep, Yep. So the simple stuff is maybe that should have been at number one, Michaela. But, yeah, look, listeners, if you're not sure about some of those things, go speak to your accountant or your bookkeeper or whoever you've got around you. Obviously, hit our website. We've got some good resources there at tradiesbusinessshow.com. And, you know, we can certainly point you in the right direction in terms of getting those things sorted.
That's right. And we've also got the checklist there and a little bit of a sheet to help you. So make sure you go to tradiesbusinessshow-4 to download our check sheet and action sheet. And that'll at least get you started and look at the areas that you need to focus on first. And like I said, just look at perhaps one or two at a time. Don't think you have to look at all 12 and get overwhelmed, but maybe just pick one of our dirty dozen for the next month and focus on that and see where you get with that.
So that brings us to the end of episode 4 and our dirty dozen.
So make sure to subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And while you're there, give us a rating or review if you're enjoying the show. And if you have a listener question, make sure to check out tradiesbusinessshow.com where you can send us a voice question and we'll try and get it answered on the show for you. So what's coming up next, Warwick, on episode 5?
Well, we've got a great episode next time round. We're actually speaking with Ben from Adrian Perrin Plumbing Service. Might give a little bit away, but 30-year-old family business passing from father to son. Tune in next time.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.
What are we talking about and why are these... That's shit house.